All right, here we go. Lion of Judah Synagogue. We are continuing and ending 2 Samuel today in kind of a peculiar kind of way. So tune in to find out on Lion of Judah Synagogue. They are so- All right, getting into the show today. So, I just finished up Sabbath. That was a blessing, as always. I love Sabbath. Like, I just get in so much reading and so much sleep. I think that that's why I look so young still. And feel so young still, really. But today we're getting into King David. But we ended with Joab killing Amasa with his dagger that he pulled out from behind his back or in his sheath when he went up to say hi to Amasa. Amasa's like, oh, hi, Joab, because Amasa just took over the army, remember, from Joab. Well, Joab's still like the royal guard, but Amasa's leading the troops out in the field now. And so he's like, oh, hi, Joab. And then Joab goes to act like he's going to kiss him and grabs him by the beard and then stabs him right in the side. And his bowels pour out, it says. So I guess Joab didn't want anyone else running the army except for him. But we got to go back a little bit because we actually didn't cover this last week. All right. So what happened was when David... Absalom died, okay? And another weird thing happened to me this week is I actually watched a video on Absalom's monument that's still there. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly where, but it's still there in Israel. Absalom's monument that he erected to himself because he didn't have any offspring. And he did that before he died, and David took him out. Okay, but when David was going back to the kingdom after Joab killed Absalom, remember, and David was crying and wailing, well, then he's going back to the kingdom, and only the tribe of Judah was helping him across the water. Well, then all the other 10 tribes came and said, hey, David, how come only the tribe of Judah is helping you out? And how come we're not? And we should have 10 times more right to be down there helping. And then a guy named Sheba, okay, not Queen Sheba, a different Sheba, he started a revolt again against King David. After David just talked Judah into letting him go back into Jerusalem to set up the kingship again, even though nobody else was talking about it, which meant nobody really cared, okay. And then, but then Judah, like, bent over backwards and helped. And remember, there were 3 people down there. And there was another person I didn't explain to named Benaniah. Or, wait, no, Zillah. That helped David and his troops when they ended up in Mahanaim. Yeah, I still can't pronounce that word right. I have to hear someone say it. But helped him out. And Barzillah is his name. And he's down in the water helping David too. And David's like, come into Jerusalem with me so you can stay there. And Barzillah's like, nah. Like, I've lived my life. Like, I'm old. Like, I'd rather go back and die at home. You know, so thanks, but no thanks. And so David has to accept that, you know, which is kind of sad. Because Barzillah was a big help, but Barzillah was filthy rich too. And then Shammai was down there, the guy that cursed David, and he was like, hey, you know, you're terrible, you're gonna die because you killed Saul, and now your same thing's gonna happen to you, haha. You know, and he knew when he was doing it, he was gonna be in trouble by the Lord if David was the Lord's chosen. So he's admitting his failure, and David gives him compassion and lets him live. Okay, and then the third person was Mephibosheth, okay? And Mephibosheth is going to kind of come into play again, but it's going to be a different Mephibosheth, okay? But, yeah, how many Mephibosheths could they possibly name around there? But, anyways, he's down there telling David that he really didn't want the crown and that he was just hanging out and that Ziba tricked him. Ziba tricked him when he loaded the donkeys and took off. And he couldn't walk, like, because he was lame. Remember Mephibosheth? Okay, but then, anyways, so when all the other 10 tribes see this going on, okay, David down in the water with Judah and all these people that are talking and probably communicating in one form or another, they get jealous. And then Sheba leads a revolt. Because that's kind of when revolt comes in, is when jealousy creeps in. Then all of a sudden, somebody says, I got a better plan, and then leads them on a revolt. So he does. And all the 10 tribes follow him except for Benjamin and Judah, which is weird because Sheba was a Benjaminite. So I didn't really get that. Okay, so then they take off. Well, then David sends the troops after him, but Amasa takes forever to get the troops together. So he's like, all right. So then finally he must get the troops together because then he heads off. Okay, here's where we're catching back up. So then he looks at Joab and Abishai and says, Sheba is going to be more of a thorn in my side than Absalom was if we don't stop this right away. So go. And yeah, so basically that's what got Amasa killed. Taking too long to get the troops because David knew that Amasa really wasn't on his side. And so that's what got him killed, being a general for David's army. But remember, David had to promise that he would make Amasa general in order to get everyone to agree right then and there that David could go back into Jerusalem. Okay, so then Joab kills Amasa. Okay. So now, hang on. So now Amasa dies. Joab is headed out to get Sheba. Okay, so then Sheba ends up running into a walled city called Abel. And then Joab and Abishai are going to take down all the wall of the whole city and destroy it. And so this old lady comes out to him and says, Hey, listen. Are you really going to destroy a city of God? Like, we've been in there worshiping the God of Israel for years now, and have never done anything bad to the king, and you're going to destroy one of your own cities? Really? And this is kind of going to come into play, too, because think about it. They were going to destroy their own city in order to get to this one person that fled in there. And so then... Yeah, so then the old lady says, hey, like, here, let's make a deal. Like, don't destroy the city and let me go in there. We'll throw their head over to you, or his head, Sheba's head over to you, over the wall. And so Joab says, okay, and they do. They throw Sheba's head. Who knows if it's really Sheba's head? At that point, when it gets weird like that, that's when I start thinking, wow, maybe it wasn't even Sheba's head. Maybe they went down and got, like, a corpse somewhere and threw it over, and maybe Sheba was alive but just escaped. You never know at this point when you don't see him die and there's not witnesses. That's why it's important to have two witnesses whenever you're executing the law of Moses on humans throughout the world. You have to have two witnesses, not DNA evidence. That's been tampered with so many times, and so many people are in jail for wrongly accused because of that system. Not DNA evidence. You have to have two witnesses in order to execute somebody for a capital crime or offense under Mosaic law. Don't know how we got sidetracked there, but just letting you know. Because Joab, I guess this was a time of war, so he could kill these people because they had to be killed, I guess. I wonder what the difference is between murder and war. I don't think there is. Except for maybe war tries to bring about the eradication of murder eventually as its ultimate goal. That has to be the purpose of war. Otherwise, there'd be no point to war if it just, like, spread more murdering, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, Joab kills Amasa, going back to that point. And then they kill Sheba and send his head over the wall, but yeah, so they got Sheba's head running back to Jerusalem now. Okay. Hang on, now we gotta remember what's next. So they go back with Sheba's head. And oh, and then there's a famine. Oh no. And then David writes a song. And this song is a long song. A long, long song. That pretty much sums up all of David's songs, really, is how I read it. And this is how I sum up David's songs. And I'm not being facetious about it. And I'm not, I don't know if that's the right word even. I'm not being funny about it. But David seemed to write in the same manner throughout his life. It didn't change much. It was always like, they're wanting to kill me, because this was his life, basically. They're wanting to kill me. Help me, Lord. Help me figure out a way to escape the evil's plans. Oh, you are so great, Lord, because basically the Lord delivered him. You are such a righteous God. Thank you so much. You are the best God that ever lived, the only God that ever lived. And thank you. Pray for our people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for everything to go well inside our kingdom. That sums it up to the best of my ability, how David's Psalms went and how his songs went. And that was David's life, pretty much. That was, in a nutshell, that's a good thing that we got that. That's David's life. Yeah, pretty poetic. Pretty epic in parts and tragic in others, which makes for a great story, which is why we got to tell it. And we're going to get into Solomon soon, but we're not quite through yet, because then after the song, it starts saying that there was, oh my goodness, we're almost there. Okay, we've already been through our 12 minutes. All right, so there was a famine, okay, in the land. This is how the book ends, really. There's a famine. Well, there's a famine in the land, all right? And then David figures out through Gad, I think is the guy's name, who can talk with God, okay, how come the famine is happening. And it said, God said it's a punishment because of when Saul tried to take out the Gibeonites. And he said he wasn't going to, but then he did. And I don't remember that story, but I think we told it. All right. So it was because of that. So David goes right to the Gibeonites, says, hey, we got to stop this famine right now. So what do we need to do to get this famine to stop so you'll be praying for us, not against us? And we'll get God to stop this. So they're like, well, we want the bodies of Saul's kids, like, because we're going to hang them up in front of the Lord. And like, just basically to show like, hey, that's what was done to us. So that's what's going to be done to them. And that's righteous in front of the Lord. And so he does. They do. He gives them 7 of Saul's grandsons. But not Mephibosheth. Like, he protects him because of a pact he makes with Jonathan. But there's another Mephibosheth that has to go. And I don't remember the other kid's name. But they're both of one girl. I want to say Ziphrath, but don't quote me on that one. But then she, when they're hanging, like, they leave them all season long, I guess, which I think is accursed according to God, so I don't know why they do. But she spreads out a sackcloth and sits on it and watches the harvest, all right? So then the book ends, though, with David taking a census. And he takes a census of all Israel, but then realizes that he did it out of wickedness. And then God gives him 3 options. Do you want to run for 3 months? Do you want to have a plague? Or do you want to, there was something else. Do you want to have a plague or do you want to, I don't remember the other one off the top of my head, okay? But David chooses the plague and a plague breaks out and he has to go build an altar down at Ash. I hope you like listening to me do this all day, trying to think of the names. But let's go back real fast. There's 3 major fighters that the book points out. And the best fighter that David had was a guy named Josheb Bashibeth. And he killed 800 people one day. And the second was Eleazar. And he killed like 300 till he couldn't hold the sword anymore. And the other one was Micah. And he fended off all the people in a field. All the Philistines when all of Israel ran. And they didn't even come back till it was time to get the loot. So, yeah. David had some great fighters. And Israel has some great fighters today. Shalom. Thanks for tuning in to Lion of Judah Synagogue.
Your presence is all I seek.